Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Minneapolis burning, CNN reporter tells us he would not describe it as a riot. While a building is in full flames behind him, and you can see rioters running about, Minneapolis mayor, a typical liberal paralyzed by risk into inaction, which gives way to evil. In another unrelated story, a police officer killed a man. And when the whites came out to protest, they were told, "This is not your place." What is it about whites showing up to protest excessive force that gets in the way of what these protesters were there to do? And then the Twitter wars, Trump versus Twitter. Trump sets off a Twitter storm with his Scarborough tweet. And Twitter fact checks the president's tweet about the potential of voter fraud from mail-in voting. This prompts Trump to sign an executive order preventing online censorship, putting these social media platforms on the same footing as regular media. You know, since they're going to pick and choose what gets posted, right? They're functioning like publishers, aren't they? Maxine Waters pig calls her accusation that Trump caused the Minneapolis riots by using his racist dog whistle. The war of the state against religion continues. The FBI documents put Obama on the hot seat. Our hospitals over-reporting COVID cases and other COVID news. The mask debate continues to percolate. And of course, the elites are up to their business of what's good for thee is not for me. More news on the plot to Chi-Com America. Okay, my friends, we won't get to all that, I'm sure, but it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I'll be in Siller City, North Carolina, Sunday through Wednesday, doing a spiritual warfare conference for Pastor Mark Agin at Community Baptist Church. Then I'm off to Arkansas to honor the wedding of my new assistant pastor, Pastor Nathan, to his lovely bride. So I'll be home the following Monday. Thank you for your prayers. New California is sponsoring some Open California rallies. Go to www.newcaliforniastate.com. Click on the calendar link. Find days of protest. Click a drop down. We'll give you the information you need so you can know how to pray and how to participate. Minneapolis burning. CNN reporter tells us he would not describe it as a riot while a building is in full flames behind him and you can see rioters running about. Reminds many of old Baghdad Bob. Remember him? Hussein's information director. And that tells you a lot all by itself. Information director. In his black beret, pompously declaring there's no invasion by America into Baghdad going on here. In his grandiloquent style of the impressive clergyman, only without the lisp. While the viewer can see behind him American tanks rolling into the city, a city set ablaze by the air attacks. Anyway, this character reporting for CNN, of course, standing on site with a backdrop showing a burning building and rioters running amok, obviously really wanting to say, there's no riot here. Don't pay attention to that burning building and the people running about in a frenzy behind that curtain over there. But this guy was simply, I guess, just too grounded in the reality of his moment. And you could see him squirming and struggling. He had not the grandiloquence of his predecessor, of which he is an archetype, but he stammered about, you know, what we were seeing and saying, well, it's mostly a protest. You gotta love it when the jackals, a canine that feeds on carrion and hunts in packs. Remember that Jesus called Herod a fox because that animal aptly described his character, so it's amusing. When CNN's jackals go slack-jaw, discombobulated and distressed by fear of offending George Soros, who paid these Antifa thugs to turn that peaceful protest into anarchy and pays him too, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey holds a presser to explain his decision to let his city burn, his decision to turn it over to the anarchists, his decision to let the unruly rule. He said, quote, the danger became necessary, and I made the decision to evacuate the third precinct, end quote. Now, let's hold it right there a moment. The danger became necessary. Now, I'm going to assume he meant the danger made it necessary for him to evacuate the precinct. But, you know, I've noticed sometimes these guys kind of play on Freud's slip and slide. You know, the danger was perhaps Soros-funded Antifa anarchists attacking the homes and businesses of the people there. The brutality of a cop that had a record of this sort of excessive force. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Klobuchar refused to rein in this guy some time back, left him on the force to use his force to this time kill a guy who, by all accounts, was not resisting arrest. All this needs to come out, I know, but, you know, look at the film there. It's really dangerous to give power to unreasonable and wicked people like this Joker. Finally, he was arrested, by the way, this officer was, and I'll get more into what happened there in a minute. So, the danger intruded into this situation from Soros thugs by Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And Antifa intimidated this wimpy mayor to leave the town in the power of these radical devils. For, as you know, devils come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what they were up to. Well, at least two out of three there. And these Antifa thugs declare their intention to burn it down. Yeah, and this milquetoast mayor says, the symbolism of a building cannot outweigh the importance of life of our officers or public. Could not risk serious injury to anyone. We'll continue to patrol 3rd Precinct entirely. We'll continue to do our job. What? What is your job? What did you hire a police force to do? Is it not to protect the persons and property of your citizens? If you guys don't step in and bring this evil down, it will grow and grow and it'll get way out beyond your control. What does the burning of a building symbolize? What, surrender to the lawless? That's what you have. Surrender to the lawless. But that's liberalism for you. Paralyzed by risk. Put a liberal in power and he or she will be paralyzed by risk into inaction when it matters. Which is a far greater risk, by the way, than the risk police officers who hire on to bear it that they would experience going in trying to restore order. People under these sorts of liberal, spineless leaders have no protection from anarchists. Dinesh is right. See Minneapolis? That's what you get when you have liberals in power. They will simply sit back and watch it burn. You know, like Nero? They will fiddle around thumb-twiddling while the lives of citizens are shattered by violence. Liberals do not understand what government is for. Don't you find it strange that these blue states can get so rough and tough with Christians, right? Chicago mayor sends in the police to break up a church that's meeting in defiance of her unconstitutional stay-from-church orders. But when it comes to applying the force of law to actually do something about crime, ha! In a city, Chicago, that gets excited when, as of May 25, only 191 people have been murdered so far in that year in the streets of Chicago? Because that was down for 2019? By one? By one? She can't stop Chicagoans from killing each other in their streets, but, you know, by all that's unholy, she's going to stop those Christians from going to church during this pandemic. Let me tell you, of course, as Horowitz put it, quote, you can leave your home to get drunk. You can leave your home to get high. You can leave your home to kill your unborn child. But you can't leave your home to worship your God, end quote. Modern liberals are unreasonable and wicked. And those two things always go together. But it's typical liberals today, you know, paralyzed by risk into inaction, which gives way to evil. Or motivated by risk into foolish actions that unleashes all manner of evil upon the city. Do you see an irony in this? Modern liberals are paralyzed by risk into inaction against mobs destroying their cities. And this is not the first time this has happened by a liberal mayor. And yet these same liberals are hyper-motivated into all kinds of aggressive action to oppress their citizens, to take away our liberties because they want to protect us from risk. What's wrong with this picture? Afraid of risk, they refuse to employ the force of law to maintain order and restore the peace in a community attacked by Soros-funded anarchists. And then, afraid of risk, they deploy the full force of law to attack law-abiding peaceful people whose only crime is they want to go to church to worship God. And they excuse it because they want to protect us from risk of getting a disease. You know, never mind that the disease kills only 2% of those afflicted. Never mind that we now know 42% of that 2% are the elderly who live in nursing homes that liberal idiots forced to admit sick patients into facilities not equipped to care for them. You know, I wonder about these dictator types that run these large blue cities and blue states that force a nursing home to receive sick elderly patients even after they were told about the risk. De Blasio, Cuomo, blue state, Whitmer. And Whitmer, you know, after Cuomo's disastrous results were known and exposed from doing this, she goes and does the same thing in Michigan. Do these Democrat governors, these Democrat governors, actually want to kill the elderly in their states? Wow. Are we going to find some email or text that reveals that these people actually wanted to depopulate their states of old people? Okay, let's wrap up the first segment. We are being oppressed by people who want to protect us from the risk of getting sick by the China virus, sometimes called COVID-19. Thank you, Trump. Which, of course, does not stand for Coronavirus Infection Disease of 2019, but instead it stands for Certificate of Vaccination ID in the 19. Well, that stands for AI, Artificial Intelligence. Oh, yeah. Well, more on that on the other side of the break if I have time. But we are being oppressed by masters who want to treat the public as if it's their personal hospital and control us like they do their patients and strip away the liberties of perfectly healthy people because of their perceived risk of infection from a disease that simply refuses to kill as many people as they predicted. And so they have had to find ways to manipulate the COVID death count, and they are doing this. It's been admitted. In fact, I heard Burke reveal this out loud right in front of God and everybody. Okay, just trying to provide the context for my statement here. We are being oppressed by masters taking away our liberties to protect us from a relatively minor risk of danger. But friend, we live with risk every day of our lives. Do you realize that your chances of dying in a car crash is, I think it's one, yeah, here it is, 1 in 106 crashes. And your chances of dying from COVID, I understand from this document, are 1 in every 358 people in the country. Now, here's the problem in getting a true per capita count is that the case count is artificially low, which everyone admits, and the death count is artificially high, which most admit, like Burke and so on. So it's almost impossible. So we kind of fish around with the numbers and play around with them. The best we can come up with is something like between 1 in every 200 and 1 in every 358, some say 1 in every 400, but it's admittedly a squishy number. So using the same ridiculous logic of our doctors protecting us from risk, well, we should immediately forbid everyone from driving any sort of motor vehicle, right? After all, you don't know who on the road is, well, wearing their mask. You don't know which of the persons out there on the road is going to do something stupid and end up killing somebody. So we can't let anybody drive, right? We live with risk, my friend. We take reasonable precautions, but we cannot eliminate all risk. But these fascists, man, these Nazis, they will use risk to make you afraid so you will give them control over your lives. Risk is part of living. The only way to eliminate all risk is to eliminate living. And that's what they're doing to us. They are taking away our lives under the pretense of protecting us from risk. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising, but remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Shide Bach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. And I'm making a grab for him right now, my friend Mike and Alicia Edwards invite you to stand firm in difficult times. Join them on the corner of Grand Avenue and Oak Park in Arroyo Grande, Saturday between 1 and 3, to support our call to our governor to open California. Now, I'll be on my way to North Carolina at that time, but my thoughts and prayers will be with you in this effort. So, Minneapolis is burning. In another unrelated story, a police officer killed a man. That's right, totally unrelated, at least in terms of what Newton called cause and effect. I bring that up because when whites came out to join the protest, Some black protesters told them, "This is not your place." What is it about whites showing up to protest excessive force and what appears to have been the murder of a human being that gets in the way of what these particular protesters were there to do? I want you to think about this. A man was killed by a cop who did not control his rage, used excessive force on what may well have been a perfectly innocent man. Now, that's something that concerns all persons who have any humanity. That's not white or black or brown or anything. That's something that deeply upsets all of us. Here is what we know so far. George Floyd went into a store and made a purchase with what turned out to be a counterfeit 20. He left the store with his purchase, and the clerk figured out that the bill was counterfeit, and then the police were called. Haven't had a chance to look as closely to this as I'd like. There are a lot of questions right there, I'm sure. I know there are for me. But anyway, the police arrived. I think four officers responded to the call. When the clerk identified the man that had given him the counterfeit 20, the officers proceeded to confront him and initiated an arrest. It was all caught on camera here. The three officers watched as what appears to be a bully cop wrestled this man to the ground and put his knee on his neck. Nothing indicates there was any effort on the part of the suspect to resist arrest. But we don't know yet, see? We have not heard the testimony of the officers or others who are watching. We only have the video. The video seems to reveal the officer had the man on the ground with his knee on his neck, and you can hear the man telling the officer, "I can't breathe." And we know that this continued for about 7 minutes, and that after something like 4 or 5 minutes into this ordeal, the man stopped breathing altogether. When the paramedics arrived, they couldn't find a pulse, and at the hospital, he was pronounced dead. Now, I told this story without pointing out that the officer was white and the hapless victim was black. And does that actually matter? If this was race-related, okay, well, then that should be brought out in court, and maybe something could be done about that. But the issue, even in that case, is bigotry, not color of skin, and something called racism, not race. And there's a difference. In other words, the white race didn't kill this man any more than the black race burned down Minneapolis. Now, we judge men not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Remember that old yarn? The cop who did this, by any reasonable reckoning, abused his power as a law enforcement officer when he refused to respond to the man's repeated protest that he couldn't breathe. The officer is Derek Chauvin, and he got in hot water with the law when he shot and killed a man in the city where at that time Klobuchar was the city attorney, and she refused at that time to bring charges against him. We don't know why. We don't have the details in front of me right now. I have not had time to run them down. But, of course, all of this will be coming out now. But, friend, the police force did not do this. Derek did. His last name is Chauvin. It sounds French to me. So, folks, the French did not do this. Derek did. The white race didn't do it. Derek did. What one white man does is not an indictment against the race any more than what 50 to 100 black rioters did there in Minneapolis is an indictment against the blacks. So it's about character. One wonders, what is it about whites showing up to protest a man being killed by a cop using excessive force that would get in the way of the agenda of these particular black protesters who had gathered there? Are you following me? You get my point? Apparently for them, you see, my point, it's not about a man who was killed by a police officer using excessive force. It's about white race versus black race. And so we can't have any whiteies there. You see what I mean? That's bad news, friend. That's UW, baby. Unreasonable and wicked, UW. And where you see something that does not make sense, that is unreasonable on the face of it, you stop and ask, what sense does this make? Okay, what's motivating this? And when you get the answer to that question, you will have discovered the wickedness that is in this whole thing. Only an evil agenda is pursued by unreasonable behavior or means. The Twitter wars. Trump versus Twitter. Trump sets off a Twitter storm with his Scarborough tweet. Trump did not say Scarborough killed anyone. But the left liked to twist his words out of context and usually into a prescient prediction of what the left has done or is up to. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's kind of weird and almost eerie how often that happens. Anyway, Trump did not say Scarborough killed anybody. Here is what he tweeted. Quote, "Psycho Joe Scarborough is rattled, not only by his bad ratings, but all of the things and facts that are coming out on the internet about opening a cold case. He knows what is happening," end quote. And then Trump continued in a follow-up tweet, quote, "about whether or not Joe could have done such a horrible thing, maybe or maybe not. But I find Joe to be a total nut job, and I knew him well. Far better than most. So many unanswered and obvious questions, but I won't bring them up now. Law enforcement eventually will, end quote. Now, there's the whole picture, okay? He didn't say the guy killed anybody. Why does Trump call the guy a psycho? Well, we could go back to the campaign and I can show you all kinds of evidence supporting that. But here you go. Scarborough says, quote, everybody saw the pandemic coming in January, end quote. In the context of complaining that Trump didn't do enough or didn't do anything about all this, which costs American lives. Now, I'm going to resist the temptation to lay out all of the specific quotes and citations because most of you know them. Fauci, definitely a reputed expert in the field. He said there was no big deal here. Every single mainstream media propaganda organ for the Democrat Communist Party, you know, the DCP counterpart in America to the CCP in China, they were all pushing the Chinese communist line, saying it's no big deal. So in January, however, Trump bans travel into the United States from Wuhan, with the exception of Americans, which is appropriate, and the MSM, Marxist Socialist Media, criticizes him. And then in April, the Scarborough character has the audacity to say everybody saw the pandemic coming in January and then accused Trump for not acting early enough? I don't know what else to call this but psychotic behavior. So, Psycho Joe works for me, friend. And this propaganda line has become the basis for accusing Trump of killing Americans. That is totally psycho. As for whether Scarborough killed his aide, well, there was some concern about his involvement, but it was ruled a suicide. Lately, however, the rumor mill has been churning this up again, so I don't know, like I said. I've watched this president repeatedly point to something like this, only in the end to have been proven prescient. But the Twitter wars heat up. Twitter does not like it that Trump has found their platform as a useful way to get his message out to the people unfiltered by the Marxist Socialist Media, MSM. So they've been trying to find a way to filter him, to hide his messages from the American people, to stick a mask, a muzzle on him, you know. But he is not going to sit back and let them get away with that. You know, Trump tweeted a warning to the Antifa BLM thugs that turned a peaceful protest into a riot in Minneapolis, saying that they had better beware because he wasn't going to sit back and just watch that city burn like the mayor was doing. He was going to actually step in with some action. And he warned them that they will face armed resistance. Only he did it in his own inimitable style. He said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Twitter hid this message from the American people because they felt it glorified violence. You know, it might have stopped some. What fools these people are. What glorifies violence is when you feed it, when you strengthen it, when you make way for it. You pretend it's not happening. You allow the murderers to get out their message. Two of you for every one of us, and we built it and we'll burn it. And you know, what Trump is proposing to do is what God appointed the sword to civil government to do. Execute wrath against evildoers. These people, not the protesters, but these people are evildoers and need to be given a dose of divine wrath executed against them, the sword of the Lord. But Mayor Frey, well, he only uses the sword, the force of government, to go after people that want to go to church. He was nicer about it than some, but Frey's spokesperson warned, we have to take this very seriously. Our number one goal is trying to get voluntary compliance. But here you go. If that should fail, we will use enforcement measures that are appropriate. End quote. So he said the new order would not be another tool for incarceration. And he tells us, while most people comply, however, those who have not are, quote, dealt with, end quote. Now, that sounds a little ominous to me. A whole lot more ominous than, let's let Precinct 3 burn to the ground because we don't want to risk any officers getting hurt doing their job protecting the peace. What? Anyway, Twitter at first hid the message, but then pressure came up and they decided it's in the best interest of the public to have access to the tweet, probably for reasons different than the ones you might expect. So they're controlling what you see and what you don't see based on their bias against Trump. What? What proof do you have of that? Oh, you want proof? Funny you should ask. I've got about four tweets from Yoel Roth. Now, Yoel Roth is Twitter's, quote, tweet integrity czar, end quote. Yes, a senior staff person on Twitter is head of site integrity, and he's the guy, ultimately, who sets the rules for what posts are acceptable for display of the Twitter platform. So what is the integrity of the Twitter integrity officer? Here you go. Yoel Roth. Quote, I'm just saying we fly over those cities that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason, end quote. Yeah, there you go. A senior staff member of Twitter. In control of what passes as appropriate for Twitter. Here's another tweet. He sets it off in quotes. He says, today on Meet the Press, we're speaking with Joseph Goebbels about the first 100 days, end quote. And he goes on, what I hear whenever Kellyanne is on a news show, quote unquote, for that tweet. Nice. How about this one? Quote, yes, that person in the pink hat is clearly a bigger threat to your brand of feminism than actual Nazis in the White House, end quote. Huh. Oh, by the way, actual Nazis in the White House is set off in all caps because, you know, Roth was Roth and he felt the need to holler that one out. Okay, here's one more. Quote, how does a personality-free bag of farts like Mitch McConnell actually win elections, end quote. Now, there's a real nice guy. Okay, a lot of integrity there. That's what Twitter passes off as integrity. Every time, whenever you see Trump going off on some Yahoo like this, every time you find out it's because the guy's a Yahoo. And I'm not talking about the email server. I'm talking about the low friends met by Gulliver on his travels. So the latest is Twitter fact-checked the president's tweet because the president said mail-in voting leads to fraud. Do you understand what all mail-in voting does in a state where the voting rolls are packed with dead people or otherwise absent people? Here's a sample. Back in 2016, an 89-year-old widow received 83 ballots delivered to her house. Too bad the harvesters didn't get there before she blew the whistle on this. Or Hillary, well, she could have gotten 82 more votes. Now, wait a minute. Really? Yeah, really. Do you like Snopes? I find them helpful because they allow me to see the best liberals can do with a story, especially a story that really nails them to the wall. And here's one of them. When this story came out a while back, Snopes took a look and they talked to the Los Angeles County Registrar's Office. Well, that's appropriate. The registrar admitted that too many ballots were sent to a single Los Angeles apartment in November 2016. You've heard me explain this before. Liars and cheats and so on never admit more than they have to. They would not confirm the number. But they didn't deny the allegation that 83 ballots were sent to this 83-year-old lady's address in two stacks. Two stacks? No one noticed that two stacks of ballots were going to the same address? Okay. The registrar's office assured Snopes that, well, of course, this was the result of a bug in the computer system that tracks voting records. Now, that's good enough for Snopes. Snopes was assured that it was not because someone, I'm quoting again, or something was trying to cheat the election system or commit fraud. Well, of course not. Well, that's good enough for Snopes because it saves face for their agenda to support voter fraud. I'm just saying, not offering any proof for that one. I'm just saying that the suspected culprits at the registrar's office were not challenged at all with in any of this. And, you know, for me, they would not be adequate to dismiss my concerns about this problem. Because you, please understand this. Even if everything the registrar said is true, it makes the point. An all-mail-in voting situation makes our elections vulnerable to fraud. This story totally proves that Trump is right. Again, this mail-in business opens this election up to voter fraud. It must be stopped. And thank God for Judicial Watch, who filed a suit against Governor Newsom to stop this outrageous effort to steal the election. But back to the Twitter battles. Twitter tried to fact-check Trump's concern that an all-mail-in election in a state like California, where in one county alone, we've got an estimated 1 million names on the rolls that don't belong there, that are dead people or otherwise absent. You know, add to this the whole harvesting scheme they're using now, where Democrats run off to these houses of the elderly to collect their ballots, to help them out, to carry them to the ballot boxes on their behalf. And can anyone spell fraud? I know I'm out of time. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. It's lights on if you agree, lights off if you don't. And if your lights are blinking, go ahead and just say blinking. Email me by going to our website, godswar2020.com. That's godswar2020.com, or call me at 1-805-314-2114. That's 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.